The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after Jesus had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And Jesus said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though the friend will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Prayer is important. How do I know prayer is important? Because Jesus spent a lot of time talking about the need for prayer. Throughout the Gospels, Christ teaches us quite a bit about prayer. When should we pray? According to Jesus, we should pray unceasingly. We should always be in prayer. We should be persistent in our prayer. How should we pray? According to Christ, we should pray honestly, with open hearts. We should pray with thanksgiving to God for the blessings that we have received. We should pray for the needs of our neighbor. And we should also pray laying ourselves bare, announcing our sinfulness, and being open to God's word of forgiveness. How shouldn't we pray? Well, according to Christ, we shouldn't stand on the street corner and boast about our good works. We shouldn't pray so that those around us think better than us. We should pray with contrite hearts. We should pray unceasingly. We should pray openly. We should pray in thanksgiving, and we should pray for the needs of others. This is what Christ tells us about prayer. Prayer is important. There's a story that highlights the importance of prayer, and you might have heard it. It's an interesting story, and there might be a nugget of truth in it for us. And the story involves two people. Two people who at their death go to heaven, to the big pearly gates. The first person in line is a taxi cab driver. The second person in line is a minister. The taxi cab driver comes to the pearly gates. And there he finds St. Peter at a desk. And St. Peter says to the taxi driver, Tell me, what's your name? The taxi driver says, My name is John Brown. So St. Peter opens the big leather-bound parchment book on his desk, flips through the pages. Brown, John. Are you a cab driver? Yes, the man says. Peter stands up, says, Welcome, brother. Gives him a big hug. Hands him a golden scepter and places upon the man's shoulders a beautiful white silken robe. Welcome to your eternal rest, says Peter, and ushers him in. The next man in line, the minister, comes forward. And St. Peter says, Tell me, sir, what's your name? And the minister says, with just a little bit of pride, My name's Reverend Smith. Oh, says St. Peter, that's a different book. So St. Peter turns around, goes to the bookcase, pulls out another big bound leather book, flips through it. Pastor Smith, correct? Yes, that's me. St. Peter stands up and says, "Welcome, brother," gives him a hug, gives him a wooden staff, and places upon his shoulders a white linen robe. "Welcome to your eternal rest," says Peter. So Pastor Smith starts to enter into the gates. He stops for a minute because something's bothering him. And he turns and looks at St. Peter and he says, "St. Peter, I have a question. Now, I'm not complaining, but I have a question. That taxi cab driver got a golden staff and a fine linen robe. Yet me, a servant of God, received this wooden staff and this somewhat less impressive robe." St. Peter looks up from his big book and says, "We appreciate your service. We appreciate your ministry. But you know, this is based on results, Pastor Smith. And to be honest, when you were preaching Sunday morning, people were sleeping. But when Mr. Brown was driving, people were praying." Now, don't take that as a theological discourse about the state of heaven. But it's meant to highlight the importance of prayer. Prayer is important. As Christians, that should be ingrained within us. From the time we are smallest to the time we are knee-high to a grasshopper and we just start to learn the English language, or maybe French or a different language of origin, German, Norwegian, Dutch, regardless. Hopefully our parents have begun to instill in us the importance of prayer. Prayers before we eat. Prayers before bedtime. How many people learned the "Now I lay me"? The Lord's Prayer. Pray at special events. Praying throughout the events of life. This is what the church encourages. So is prayer really ingrained within us? How much do we pray? Do we pray unceasingly? Do we pray persistently, as Christ says in today's gospel reading? I don't know. Interesting statistic. If you had to pick in your head between all the Christians in Canada, Lutherans, Anglicans, Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, etc., etc., Catholics, the list goes on and on. What percentage of professing Christians, that is, Christians who belong to a church, Christians who say they believe in Christ, Christians who say the presence of God is important to them, what percentage of these Christians do you think pray weekly? Not every day, but weekly. Well, the answer might surprise you. According to Dr. Reginald Bibby, he's a religious sociologist out of Alberta, the percentage of Christian Canadians who pray once a week, not every day, but once a week, is right around 50%. 50% of professing Christians pray once a week. Now, that statistic doesn't say what kind of prayer it is. It's an hour-long prayer, a half-hour prayer, a five-minute prayer, a prayer while driving with a taxi cab driver. But 50% of Christians in Canada say they pray once a week. Our staff might look the same. I hope we pray more. I hope we encourage people to pray more. But I'm not so naive as to believe that we have the only bastion of prayer in Canada. That we're that much different than the church down the street, or the church in another province, or on a different coastline. What percentage of us engage in daily prayer? I don't know. And if we're not engaging in daily prayer, if we're not praying unceasingly, if we're not praying persistently, why is that? Well, I have three main theories. And everyone's reasons might be different. And if you're praying unendingly, persistently, I congratulate you. I commend you. But I look at my own life, at the own times when I have fallen away from my prayerful path, and I look at when I've talked to others who are interested in prayer or who feel that they haven't cultivated their prayer life enough, and I take all this in, and I come down to three main ideas about why we don't pray maybe as much as Christ would encourage us. Firstly, I often think that we don't know how to pray. Yes, we've been taught a few prayers. We've memorized a few prayers. The Lord's prayers, a few different table graces, maybe some of Luther's prayers around morning time and night time. But often we don't know how to pray. It's true in my life. The truth be told, I often have to pray so that God will help me pray. And let me explain that. As Christ talks about in today's reading, he talks about snakes and eggs and scorpions and fish. What Christ is talking about is why do we ask for what we ask for when we pray? And this is a constant question I ask. Because as I meet with people and I want to pray with them, I want to make sure that I am articulating their true desires, their true fears, their true hopes, their true joys, the true things they want to say to God. In my own life when I pray, for myself, for my family, for my ministry, I want to make sure that I'm really praying for those things I need, not just those things I want. That I'm really praying for God's guidance, not just to confirm what I already believe inside of me. So I often have to pray to ask God to help me pray. As Paul says, the Holy Spirit will often pray through us. It's not always so cut and dried what to pray with people. Sometimes it's pretty easy to get the eggs and the scorpions and the fish and the snakes mixed up. I'm sure we've all been there. What do we pray with someone who is suffering from terminal cancer? What do you pray with the family who's just suffered through their third miscarriage? What do you pray with a grieving spouse? Make it all better, God? Make it all go away? That's not authentic. That's not real. The question often haunts me. What things are we called to pray for? How can we ask God to shine the good news of His gospel, the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, into a situation? So often as Christians, we're caught wrestling with what to pray for. What words are we called to say? Whether in our own lives or when we gather with family, with friends, and pray for them. It can be tough to know what to pray for. Another reason people don't often pray? Too busy. We wake up to the alarm clock howling, a child tapping us on the forehead, something we put off that we need to get up right away and do. We rush into the shower, we brush our teeth, we have a cup of coffee, we run off to work or to some other need. We run home, we try and get supper on a table, we try and do all those chores we've been putting off, and we flop in the bed at the end of the night and say, whew, I'm glad that day's done. And in the middle of this, where is time for prayer? That can be tough. I know in my own life, if I admit to my sinfulness, I've been guilty of this. As my day gets more and more compressed, as my responsibilities grow, as the things I have to accomplish seem to increase, prayer can sometimes fall down the ladder. There's not an immediacy to it. These other things I need to do, these other things I have to do, prayer seems like a luxury. Well, maybe I can take some time. Maybe I can get away from things for a bit of prayer. That's the wrong attitude. Prayer is a need. As we hear in Christ saying today's gospel reading about the neighbor who needs a loaf of bread for his friend because the traveler has stopped by. There is an immediacy. He is knocking. He is banging at that door. He says, help me, help me, help me. But often, we don't treat prayer as an immediacy. That prayer is something we might get around to if we have time. Prayer is something reserved just for those big things in life. Things we want to change. Things we want to help. Things we need to do. We'll pray about those things. But during our day-to-day life, we can handle that on our own. Not really sure that's what Christ tells us in today's reading. And maybe the last reason why people refrain from prayer is that of the unanswered prayer. Every one of us has prayed for something in earnest and not received it. We have all prayed for a loved one to get better. We have all prayed for some kind of world calamity to end, a war to stop, a disease to quit spreading, someone to turn their path and change their ways, and we've been disappointed. The prayer seems to have gone unanswered. And we tried a few more times. And again, they seem to have gone unanswered. So we just quit praying. Because we think it has no efficacy. Yes, we believe in God. Yes, we believe in the divinity of Christ. But we just seem to think that God really isn't too interested in our problems or in helping us out. There's a theological term for this. It's called deism. And that's the idea that God is a watchmaker. And like a watchmaker, God has created the world. And He's brought the parts together, and He's labored over them. He's worked it. He's made it beautiful. He's tightened the screws. He's wound up the spring. He's put it into a box, and He's put it on the shelf, and He's walked away. And that watch is ticking in the box, but God's over here doing something else. And that's how some people see God. That God's not really interested in this daily thing of creation. That God's not really interested in our daily lives. Yeah, God is God. Yeah, Christ is Christ. Praise be to Jesus. But you know what? When it comes to me, when it comes to my problems, you know, God's pretty distant. So thanks God, but no thanks. I'm going to try and deal with them myself. Okay. The unanswered prayer. It's a tricky one for Christians. Listen to Christ's words today. Knock and the door will be open. Ask and ye shall receive. It will be added unto you. God hears the prayers of every child. But does that ring true with our experience? Have we suffered? Have we had a loved one suffer? Have we seen creation go through suffering? Have we held ourselves up in prayer and said, God, take this yoke away from me. God, bring peace into this situation. Yes. We'll do it today. We'll pray for the needs of people all around the world. We'll pray for those who are involved in war. We'll pray for those who need healing. We'll pray for those who need assistance. We'll pray for ourselves, we'll pray for our congregation. But when we go home and we turn on CNN, will the wars around the earth have ceased? Will a doctor phone and say, hey, those x-rays cleared up somehow? Will the turmoil in families vanish like that? Big theological question. Why do these prayers seemingly go unanswered? Now I can pull a fast one on you. I can tell it's all your fault. that when you pray, you don't have enough faith. If you just believed a little more, if you just gave of yourself a little more, God would give it unto you. That's a health, wealth, and prosperity theology. That somehow God's our butler in heaven. That if we just believe enough, that if we just give enough, that if we just hand ourselves over enough in submission, that God will give us what we want. Jim Baker, the televangelist, was famous for this. In fact, my favorite quote of Pastor Baker's was this. When you pray to God for that new Cadillac, don't forget to tell Him what color you want. There's something inherent within that. That God, if we just play by these simple rules, if we believe enough, if we pray rightly enough, if we expect enough, that we'll somehow bend God's will, that we'll twist His arm and He will give in to our needs and desires, that He will make our prayers come true. Wow. Is that true? I think not. That just makes ourselves gods. God's just our employee. He just does the things that we tell Him. Ever since God created man in His own image, we've been trying to return the favor. And that's what that does. If we just believe enough, if we just pray strong enough, if we just fast long enough, these things will all become true. But is that really an answer to unanswered prayers? Probably not. So what is the answer to unanswered prayers? How do we get over this stumbling block? Well, if God's omnipotent, God's all-powerful, omnipresent, that's everywhere, then I don't need to answer for Him. I don't need to try and convince you with some sleight of hand or some complex theory about the reality of unanswered prayers. I don't need to chide you that you don't believe enough. I don't need to ram it down your throat that you're praying for the wrong things or that you're looking for the wrong answer. At the end of the day, God is God. But realize that God is playing by a set of rules. That God has limited God's self in this thing we call creation. God works within this framework. Not because God has to, because God chooses to. And because God is omnipotent, omnipresent, God sees a much bigger picture than us. If we take seriously this idea that God is the Alpha, that God is the Omega, that God is the beginning and the end, that all things fall in between God, then we have to accept the reality that God sees a larger picture than us. That God can see things working through one another that we cannot see. God knows our beginning. And God knows our end. As St. Paul says, whether I live or whether I die, I am unto the Lord. And that's how we're called to live our lives. To recognize that God has this big picture. That God has the Alpha and God has the Omega. And that God, through Christ, has promised to see us through. Will we experience suffering? Yes. Will we experience pain? Yes. Will we experience poverty? Yes, some of us will. Will the world experience suffering and pain? Yes. That is undeniable. But God's got the big picture. And God works through this big picture. And it is Christ's word to us to pray. And at its basis, prayer is conversation. It is conversation with God. And conversation is important because it's healthy. It builds up relationships. It strengthens loving relationships. And also, if we pray sincerely, if we pray in the model that Christ encourages us, if we lay bare ourselves, our sinful selves, to open ourselves for forgiveness. Through prayer, we will learn a lot about ourselves. We will discover our hopes, our dreams, our fears. We will discover those areas that we want the gospel to shine into, that we want to be liberated from. Prayer is more than just bringing with us a sheet of wants, a Christmas list, if you will. Lord, I need this, this, this. My neighbor needs this, this, this. But prayer is also a time to give thanksgiving. It's also a time to recognize ourselves as children of God, as people who live within this divine creation, that we are connected to one another. Prayer is important. And this is why we find Christ constantly stopping for prayer. It's why we find Paul constantly writing about prayer. Why we find the early church governing and leading itself through the act of prayer. Prayer is important. But somewhere along the way, all of us stumble. And we fall off that path. Whether it's because we don't know how to pray, whether it's because we find ourselves too busy to pray, or whether it's because we're disgruntled, and so we don't hold ourselves up in prayer, we stumble and we fall off that path. And that's a story. Maybe you've heard it. It's a story about a small farm town. And drought had stricken the town. The crops were shriveling. The heat was intense. And there was no moisture to come. So the pastor in the town got an idea. He said, "Let's have a prayer service. We'll pray for rain." Well, the townsfolk were desperate. They saw their livelihoods turn into a dust bowl daily. They needed rain. The dugouts were empty. The crops were parched. So they got together one evening, and the small little country church was filled. The pastor came forward, and he looked up. And what did he see sitting off to the pew? But a young school-aged girl with a red umbrella. And he smiled. Because everyone else that came that night came to pray for rain. But that girl came expecting rain. And if you're going to pray to God, sometimes you need to expect to get wet. Amen.